A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Saving Lives in Slow Motion. I'm Ayan Panja and today my thoughts are about behaviour change. Now, most of you will have tried to change a behaviour at some point or other in your life, whether that is to do with giving up smoking or exercising more or just spending less time on your phone. Behaviour change is something that people sometimes find quite difficult. And it's all about what makes you tick as a person and knowing yourself. And I wanted to just share with you some of the stories that I've come across and the learnings that I've gained from patients and also myself. And hopefully you'll be able to take some of these away, chew them over and apply certain techniques in your life. We can talk a little bit also about what the experts say and think in terms of making behaviour change easy. But I thought I'd cover the real reasons, the real life reasons why people actually change their behaviours. So I was thinking about this the other day. So the first example I'm going to give you is one from my own life. And it happened several months ago when I was in a rush one morning and I had to leave the house very quickly. And one of the things that I find difficult to do in the mornings is I can't really function unless I've had a coffee, a black coffee. That's part of my kind of morning routine, if you like. And anyway, on this particular morning, we were running late and I had to drop my son off to school and I just forgot to have a coffee. I got to work just in the nick of time, went straight into work, totally slammed with patients for the whole morning, non-stop. And then I got to about, I think, 4:30 in the afternoon, which was the first time I'd really got to stop. And I thought, hey, you know what? I haven't had a coffee today and I feel okay. I don't feel too bad. I don't feel tired. In fact, if anything, I feel a bit more energized. So I thought I'd try the next day without a coffee in the morning and I felt even better. And this type of behavior change that happens by accident, I would call a happy accident. So that is the first one I want you to think about, because there'll be loads of examples of this in your life. So another common one I hear from people is when I'm asking them about their diet or something in a consultation, they'll often say, oh, no, I don't drink milk. I gave that up years ago because we ran out for a week when I was a student and actually I didn't have it and, you know, my gut felt a lot better or whatever. So happy accidents are really interesting. They're totally unintentional. But nevertheless, they are a way that people create behaviour change. By the way, when it comes to my coffee story, I stuck to it for about a month. I felt so much better. That was the whole point. That's why I stuck to it. It slowly crept back in, but you know what? I drink a lot less than I used to and I feel good. Okay, so what is the second type of behaviour change that I noticed? Well, the second one I call under orders. And this is another one that I'm sure many of you will recognise. This is where someone else's rules or laws force your behaviours in a particular way. So a really obvious one that springs to mind is you can't smoke when you're on an aeroplane, for example, because you just can't. You get arrested or, you know, set the plane on fire these days. But And it's interesting, if you ask any smoker about that, they don't really think about fags because they know they can't smoke when they're on a 14-hour flight or whatever. But then as soon as they get off at the other end, the first thing they think about is lighting a cigarette. So this is really powerful. And one of the things I want you to think about is, well, You know, and particularly actually if you are a smoker, but also if you have any kind of habit that you are doing regularly every hour or two that you're trying to stop, is just how powerful the mind is. And the fact that this habit, you know, where you're used to smoking every couple of hours or whatever, is controllable. I'm absolutely sure that if you're a smoker and your best friend or your partner asked you to stop smoking for 2 days, you'd probably find it really difficult. But the fact is, when you're sat on a plane and you've got no choice, you can do it. And there's something in that. I think that's really powerful. It's a little bit like my coffee story, which was a happy accident. If someone had asked me to stop, I would have found it much harder. But the fact that it just happened kind of meant I didn't notice it happening. And if there was a rule that said that coffee was banned, then, you know, I wouldn't have a choice. Another time I remember it happening was when many years ago we went to Sudan for a wedding, and it's a dry country and they don't serve alcohol. So, you know, we didn't have a choice. You just don't miss it. So the third one is one that I've experienced myself, and it's the power of what I call community spirit. And this is where you do things in a group, or you sort of find your tribe, in inverted commas. Lots of examples of this. Parkrun is a great example of community spirit. So people who might be reluctant to take up running, you know, you turn up on a Saturday morning and then you join, you know, in our case, half the town pretty much, and then you sort of find your feet and kind of get used to running, and you do it every week and you get a little bit faster, you make friends through it. Great stuff, you know. And there are other similar examples. You know, there are lots of weight loss clubs. There's Slimming World and Weight Watchers and, you know, and all of those, which really work by creating support, a support network. They haven't found the, you know, the magic cure for weight loss. That's not how it works. It's purely because they've harnessed the power of community really, really well. And that is potentially life-changing. And I'm sure many of you have experienced that, where you do something in a group, you're part of a community. So that's another one to think about, you know, joining a group in order to create a new behavior or take up something that's new. The next one makes me chuckle a bit, because I think all of us have had this. It's one that I call friendly jealousy. And the reason it makes me laugh is it is exactly that. So, you know, where, I don't know, you haven't seen a mate in a long time and you catch up with them and suddenly they look absolutely fantastic. They've, you know, been to the gym, they look really built, their skin looks good, they've obviously sort of looked after themselves, and, you know, you're kind of, you know, still stuck in your rut in some ways, and you think, you know what, I want a bit of that. I actually sort of think I might start going to the gym, and actually sort of looking at what benefits someone else has managed to sort of bestow upon themselves by taking control and changing their lives can help you do the same. You know, and it doesn't have to be about fitness. It can be about tidying your house, getting outdoors, or eating a bit better. You know, it happened to me several years ago when I was on a trip abroad, and I realized, I had this sort of realization that, you know, my diet was just terrible. It was just full of beige stuff, and it, you know, compared to some of my friends, I think we were actually on a stag weekend, and even there a lot of my friends were sort of working quite hard to eat healthily, you know, during the day, which I know that doesn't seem to sort of chime with what you do on a stag weekend, but it just hit me, and I thought, actually, no, you know, I want to do that as well. I need to do that. So friendly jealousy, it's a good one. Okay, so we've had friendly jealousy, we've had happy accidents, and we've had under orders. Now, this next one's a toughie. It's what I call the unthinkable. And this is one that no one really wants to happen. But events that happen in your life, like the death of a loved one, or some sort of tragedy, can be a brutal leveler, and immediately make you want to change your behaviours. It's the one that no one wants to happen, because by definition, something very sad has happened and it forces you to take stock and change your behaviours. And I've seen this time and time again in my patients, particularly in the stories that they tell me. Why I'm mentioning it, and we'll cover this in episodes that are coming up, is, you know, every time I hear these stories, it makes me think, why wait? Why am I waiting to make that change? Why am I waiting for something bad to happen before I actually take action? And there are lots of examples of this. I mean, the classic one that I can think of, and I don't want you to feel that this whole podcast is about smoking, but it's just a habit that lends itself well to use as an example. But, you know, the smoker with a cough who gets sent for a chest x-ray is always on tenterhooks, hoping that nothing sinister is going to get shown up on it. So have a think about that, and whether there's anything you know that you need to stop now and take some steps towards that. And the final real-life way that I've seen people change their behaviours is what I call grasping the nettle. That's a really tough one, and one that I wouldn't recommend, because it means that this person is using sheer bloody-mindedness and willpower in order to do something. And years ago, I remember a relative of mine, stubbing out. God, it sounds like this whole podcast episode's about smoking, and it's not. I'm just using it as an example, and the ones I'm thinking of seem to be linked to it. But he stubbed this fag out and just said, right, that's it. I'm never smoking again. That is it. It's my last cigarette. And it was, you know, as far as I know, that was, you know, about 30-odd years ago, and they've never touched one since. But that is really hard to do, and you have to be of a certain mindset in order to be able to do that. And the problem is that willpower is effectively stopping yourself from doing something you really want to do in most cases, so it's not one that I would recommend. So there you have it, things to think about: grasping the nettle, happy accidents, under orders, community spirit, friendly jealousy, and the unthinkable. Which ones of those do you recognise? What's going to work for you? And I guess the next step is about creating good habits, and how can you do that easily? Is there a way to create habits? Now, the point is that a lot of people listening to this will think, well, hang on, you know, I hate groups. You know, I don't want to go to park run because I don't really want to meet new people. And I totally get that. I think the way to crack behaviour change is to look at what behavioural scientists know. And that is that you need nudges, which are regular reminders or regular encouragement, you know, either from yourself or from family members. And also making habit changes easy. Now, there's a world famous behavior change expert called BJ Fogg, and he came up with something called tiny habits. And tiny habits is really about making behavior change easy. And the way to do this is to stick any new behavior that you want to incorporate, for example, doing press-ups, onto an existing behavior. So what that means is, you know, you're going to brush your teeth every morning. So if you want to do the press-ups just before or just after it, you're much more likely to do it. It's a really simple technique and worth doing, because after a while, that new behaviour becomes almost automatic. Or maybe doing something while you're waiting for the kettle to boil. What about removing bad behaviours? Isn't that slightly harder? So we've talked a lot on this particular pod about smoking, but there are lots of habits that people want to stop, you know, biting their nails or sucking their thumb or changing their diet. How do you stop eating sweet foods, for example? You know, it's a very common one. Now, this one, in my experience, in terms of what works for people, is about the concept of replacement. So if you've already accepted, for example, that your diet could be a bit better and that you have a craving for something sweet and you eat chocolates or sweets at a particular time of day, try and think about whether you'd be able to replace that with something that is healthier but may also be sweet. For example, some fruit. And in my experience, what happens is when someone tries something like that, if they feel better, just like I did when I accidentally forgot to have my coffee. Because I felt better, I stuck with it. And actually, feeling better becomes almost addictive. You start to notice that everything's working a little bit better, so before you know it, you've dropped a habit. So anyway, I hope that has been helpful. It's a brief tour of what I think are real-life reasons for people changing their behaviours. I hope you can relate to some of those and you'll think about what you do and how you do it as you go about your day. Perhaps you've got something that you want to do more of or less of, and have a go at the tiny habits, because I think that one really works and is so simple but so effective. For those of you that want more information or more science on things like neuroplasticity, which is really how the brain rewires itself after making behaviour change, please visit the links on the show notes. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, please send me a thumbs up by way of giving me a good rating. I would also love to hear from you if you have any suggestions for what you want me to cover on future episodes. I really hope you've enjoyed listening, and until next time, do take care.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.